The opinions and statements expressed in the following program do not necessarily reflect those of WWDB, its staff, or management.
Clearing out your parents' home. Yes, that task can be as heavy as it sounds, but it doesn't have to be. I know firsthand the stress of doing this task because I did 3 homes in 4 years, and it was quite a lot. It was my childhood home, my aunt's, and my in-laws. So I have been through this experience, and I wish I had known my next guest before I embarked on those journeys, and you will be so glad to hear from her today. So welcome back to The Empowered Homeowner. I am Beth Allen, your host, licensed contractor, DIY expert, and educator. And I am so excited today to talk to Marlene Stocks.
Thank you for inviting me.
I'm just so happy you are here. Marlene is the founder and owner of STS, Senior Transition Services. And what she does is helps families in a remarkable way. So welcome, Marlene.
Thank you. Thank you.
Can you tell us a little bit about what STS, Senior Transition Services, does and how you got started?
We got started, my husband and I started this company 17 years ago. And we knew that there was a need in the marketplace to help older individuals who were moving from their homes of decades, typically into retirement living. And we know that moving is a difficult process. We know it's emotional. We know it's time-consuming, and it's daunting. And when you're older, it's just even more difficult. So knowing that some of our potential clients would not necessarily have children to help them, we thought this would be a great way to give something back to the community. So this is how we all got started.
And it's been, what, 17 years?
17 years. We've served over 1,500 clients, and some of them, many of them, multiple times, which is always flattering when we get called back a second time to help when a loved one needs even more care and needs to move into perhaps personal care or into memory care from their independent living apartment.
Okay, so you were able to move through many stages with seniors. So it's not just that one and done. So you can help them move from home to senior community and then again downsizing within the community.
That's right.
Okay.
That's right, because that often does happen. That's why we often move into retirement communities, because we recognize that our needs for care will likely change as we age. And communities in this area, and there are many of them, so we have lots of choices, lots of options, will offer those different types of care. And that way, you're already in the facility, within the community, and now you're just moving where you need more care. And that means changing an apartment, typically. So again, you're going a little bit smaller each time and selecting the things that you really need in that phase of your life.
Yeah, we did that with my aunt. My aunt went from, you know, a one-bedroom in the city to a two-bedroom in the retirement community. So all her things looked lovely and more space. But then within 6 months, she moved from the two-bedroom to personal care for 3 days and then to memory. So we literally at one point, over I think a week's time, she had possessions in 3 different rooms across this community. And it was just crazy of moving all of these things. So one of the things that you and I have talked about beforehand is not waiting until that move is imminent and we have weeks to deal with this. So my question is, what can some of us who are in our 50s and 60s be doing now to alleviate some of that burden on our children and our nieces and nephews later?
Well, you're looking for the excess. You want to remove the excess. And we have We have lots of excess in our lives. We have attics that are overflowing. We've got garages and basements that are overflowing. And we have stuff that we use in certain periods of our life. So if you're no longer into camping, for example, then maybe it's time to find a new home for all the camping equipment. Or maybe your hobbies have changed. So you want to stay kind of focused in the period of life that you're in and say, these other things are superfluous. So let's find a good home for those things, either by passing them on to your family or friends, or maybe selling them if it's possible, or donating them, or maybe you just have to discard them, just to open up your home a little bit.
Yeah, you and I have talked about that process of clearing out and the emotional connection and the emotional trauma that this whole parting with our items brings, because our items are very much our personalization and how we identify. And, you know, when you have a collection of X, Y, or Z, it's because those things were of meaning to you. So how do you support families and seniors, the client in particular, in getting rid of the things and not bursting their bubble of memories?
And that's the difficult part, because you're right, Beth. This is all very emotional. When we're working with our clients, we can see how they are attached to certain things. And we don't always know why. And it doesn't matter why. Just to recognize that this is important to them for some very special reason. And we have to validate that. We're not looking to strip people of their memories. What we're hoping to do is that we can impart a little bit of guidance and say, maybe you don't need all of these teapots. Maybe you could pick 10 or so that would fit more comfortably into your new lifestyle and leave the other ones slowly go away. But what's important is that they feel empowered. We're not a service coming in and just doing a clean sweep for them. We want them to make those right decisions, because when you feel empowered, when you make your own decisions, the decisions that are made are more accepted. So it's psychological, as opposed to a family member coming in and saying, Mom, you've got to get rid of half your teapot collection. So you're setting the groundwork for success, and that's what we want for them.
And you're doing it in a way that is compassionate and supportive and honors their connection to the items, like you said, rather than having the child who is perhaps overwhelmed and stressed and busy and only has an hour on Sunday afternoon to come in, who is rushing and saying, you know, Mom and Dad, you got to get rid of this. And your team can come in at a slower pace and actually guide that person through the parting.
And that's critical, because, again, this is embracing a change that is typically not welcome by our clients. While I consider myself a certified senior move manager, on the other hand, Beth, I'm also a loss manager. So when we work with our clients, we see the loss that they're going through. It's a loss of a spouse. It's a loss of cognition. It's a loss of hearing. It's a loss of vision. It's a loss of independence and mobility. This is not a fun time for them. And the earlier we can get started with the process, it makes it easier for them to accept a transition and let it be done on their own terms. So slowly, and sometimes it may take a year or two until they're finally ready to make that move. But little baby steps, and that will help to ensure a more smooth transition.
A more peaceful
process. Yes.
So you and I have talked about the timing in all of this, that if you have not had that conversation with your parents about what does the next 5 years look like, you know, what does your senior years where you may need support look like? Are you going to be able to maintain this home in 5 years? Do you see yourself going to a rancher? Do you see yourself going to 55 plus? We need to be having these conversations, as uncomfortable as they may be. We need to have those, because you can't wait until there is the hip fracture.
The crisis.
The fall, mm-hmm. the crisis.
Yeah.
And now all of a sudden, we have to deal with the downsizing, get the home sold, because you often need the money from the house sale to fund the move.
Correct.
So having these conversations early in the process is good. So if you anticipate somebody is thinking, you know, I'm on a 2-year plan of moving to a senior community, when should they get started?
At the 2-year point.
Okay.
Because you have to kick the tires and see what the communities have to offer. You have to educate yourself. We are in an environment and in an area, geographic area, that has many, many opportunities for senior living. And it's important to go and visit with them and see what they look like. Because sometimes I get the impression still that my clients think that retirement living is like moving into those nursing homes that we had 30, 40 years ago. Oh, they're awful places. And they're surprised when they walk in and they see how bright they are and how vibrant they are. And they look at other residents and they're happy and cheerful and they've got lots of activities. And they need to be able to see themselves there at some point in time. Again, that makes it easier for their transition. And not wait until the crisis comes, because when that happens, now everyone is emotionally involved in this. We can't think straight, and we're making hasty decisions, which may not be the best decisions. So it's like anything else. If you do your homework ahead of time and you're prepared, that transition will be easier and better for you.
Yes, one of the things that I'd love to have you share with the audience is you guys at Senior Transition Services don't just box up the items. You do a lot more in helping make sure that that transition equates to a usable, functional new lifestyle. So what else do you do beyond, you know, disposing of items to prepare in that next space?
Well, it starts typically by doing a furniture layout of the new apartment. Now, again, envisioning that many of our clients come from the classic 4-bedroom colonial in the suburbs and are moving into a 2-bedroom apartment in a retirement community. And so many times the furniture that they have in their sprawling suburban homes or center city apartments, condos, will not fit into smaller retirement living. So we help them, we guide them in making some good decisions as to what's functional, what's safe, and what's attractive. And recreating that formal living room that they used for all these family gatherings is not probably the best alternative for them to move. So let's try to look at utilizing that space in a different way. How will you use that space? Are you really going to have formal parties? Are you going to have formal dining? And by recognizing that, probably not, that helps them shift their thinking as to what would be appropriate to take with them. My focus, Beth, is always safety, because many of our clients are walking with walkers and rollators. They have to have space. They may not have space now, but we need to have space there.
Yes. And, you know, some of my listeners don't know that. Yes, I am a registered nurse, and I was director of nursing at a retirement community for almost 5 years. So I am very attuned to the safety component of creating that space for seniors. It has to be functional, that they have the things that they need that are within reach to limit the falls. And we have to make sure that the floor space is clear, that we're not creating the trip hazards, because home should not be a dangerous place.
And that's right. And I even gently weave that into the creation of the furniture layout. Even when they're not walking with a walker or a rollator, that they've got perfect gait and perfect posture and are fine. They probably are participating in 5K walks, and that's great for them. But I introduce that there may be a time as they age that maybe they need a hip replacement, maybe they need a knee replacement. Temporarily might have to have that little friendly walker to assist them. But I want to make sure when that happens, if it happens, that we don't have to rearrange the furniture. That would be very, very stressful. So let's go into the new apartment with that in mind and hope we don't need a walker or a rollator.
Yeah, that's really wise. Well, as we're talking about how to manage homes while we're living them, I'd like to do a shout out to our nonprofit partner at Family Promise of Montgomery County. On any given day, over 500 people in Montgomery County, PA, are experiencing homelessness. Nearly 60,000 people don't have enough nutritious food to eat, and 8,600 families have income below the federal poverty line. Family Promise Monco PA is doing something about that by partnering with the community to address homelessness and hunger, one family at a time. FP Monco is able to support families through an emergency shelter, transitional housing, and a food pantry. If you'd like to learn more on how to get involved, you can visit fpmonco.org. Well, Marlene, I am thrilled to know that you actually work with FP Montco. So tell us your connection.
We work with Family Promise in the capacity of giving them food and personal care products that our clients no longer need. So they're cleaning out their pantries, and they're not going to be doing the cooking that they had been doing in their homes. So we often find unexpired, unopened food and personal care products that they no longer need. So we collect them, and through my church, Resurrection Lutheran Church in Horsham, who we take the food and the products there, and then they have a mechanism of transferring them then to Family Promise. So I'm happy that they're one of the charities that you support as well.
Oh, that's wonderful. Yeah, there is such an opportunity when we are clearing out these homes to repurpose so many items. And, you know, like you said, from toiletries that are unopened to the pantry goods. And not only that, it's dishes, it's linens. You know, dog shelters will take linens and towels and they'll use them in their shelters. So there are so many ways. Marlene, what are some of the tricks and the hacks that your team has used in dealing with, I don't want to say the disposal, but the reassignment of these goods, from clothes to books, to the tools? Like, what are some of the tricks on finding a new home for these?
Most of our clients, Beth, have a very strong opinion that they don't just want their things that aren't going with them into retirement living to be thrown into landfill. They said, please, let's find a good home for these things. And that's what we feel empowered to do for them. Sometimes we're able to put them into touch with estate liquidators and auctioneers so they can sell certain things that their family doesn't want. We help them with donations to animal shelters. They, especially if they're a pet owner, they can really resonate with that. We like to get their books into libraries. So libraries use them for fundraising activities to benefit the library. I had an opportunity not too long ago. I took 30 wigs to the Asplen Cancer Center of Abington Jeff Hospital, and they have a wig bank.
That's amazing.
That they make these wigs available to lower income women who can't buy them themselves, and they go to the wig bank and they get a freshly laundered wig to help them with their own image. It's an image center. That's what they refer
to.
Wow,
that is a really beautiful story.
So we're trying to honor our clients' things and find a good home for them so someone else can benefit. And that's where thrift shops also come in handy for us. So dishes and clothing and shoes and books and furniture can live on in somebody else's home.
Right. Between thrift stores, Facebook Marketplace, you know, like you said, a very specialty service like the cancer center.
Yeah.
You know, things have new life.
And our clients resonate with that kind of generosity. They want to give things away. And when you say, this is what we're going to do with your things, Mrs. Smith, are you in agreement? It's like, oh my gosh, yes, this is wonderful. Just keep it out of landfill.
Yeah, that's wonderful. You and I had chatted the other day about all of the china that generation has and the special things. And you had such a powerful tip that really hit home to me, so much so that I actually got out my linen napkins on the weekend and I used them. So tell us your tip for that lady who's just, I love my special things. How do I use them again?
We encounter this all the time, Beth. Thanks for bringing that up. Our clients come from a generation of being grand hostesses for family events and holidays. And they set a beautiful table. They've got the linens. They've got the china. They've got the stemware. And they associate themselves as being these hostesses with the mostess that will cater to these family events. And unfortunately, many of those items that they've used are relegated to the china closet or to the server and haven't been used in years because they don't do the formal dining anymore. And those things are only used for formal occasions. So I try to interject something a little bit different for their thinking. Sometimes I'm successful, sometimes I'm not. But the idea is, why not make every day a special occasion? Why not use your Lennox or your Limoges or your Wedgwood as your everyday dishes in retirement living? Take a place setting of four, maybe six if you're a couple, and use those dishes every day. Use your Waterford every day. Use your linen napkins every day. Make every day a special occasion. And sit down at a table, and even if you're having scrambled eggs on the Wedgwood, who cares? Let you have an opportunity to continue to use that fine china that was always very special to you.
Yeah, I think that is just a great idea. We literally, my neighbor came over for dinner and I thought, I'm going to put out the linen napkins.
Thank you.
And the only downside is that now that I've washed them, I have to iron them.
You have to iron them.
And
well,
I'm like,
okay.
Oh, you know, but I felt that in the moment. It was nice to have a little something formal on the table. So what do you do with the family dynamics when you have the children that gather? And some of the children want to hold on to this. Some of the children want to hold on to that. So, you know, one kid is like, just get rid of it all. How do you juggle? Because you don't just dispose of things. You're also playing therapist at times.
True. Again, our direction comes primarily from the client in transition. So that is the older individual who's moving into the retirement community. And yes, there are times that there are individuals who want to just throw everything away because it's easier. We're trying to be the voice of reason. We're trying to instill in the adult children who are well-meaning. They just want to get this process over as quickly as possible. But we want to say, look, let's honor your mom and your dad and these items that have been in the family forever. Give us a little bit more time to make some good decisions about them. Let your mom have peace of mind knowing that things are being disposed of in the way she would like them to be disposed and have new homes for them. She'll feel a lot more comfortable and content in her new apartment than if she's forced to accept something that the adult children want her to accept.
Right.
And I remind them that, remember, when you were young and your mother said, you have to do this, what did you do? You balked. You resisted. Now it's the same thing. The tide has turned. So while you're well-meaning and intentioned, let your mother or your father or together your parents make that decision.
Right, right. And having worked in senior care, I understand that there's moments when we feel like we know better, we are more on top of life, you know, and we are, perhaps mentally, but that we know better, and this is how it has to be. And we need to remember, our parents, our seniors, are still adults. They are adults who have lived their lives, and we need to just sometimes slow it down, be compassionate and respectful and let them make those decisions. Like you had said to me that, you know, if mom has, you know, four winter coats and she's going into a retirement community that has interior corridors, well, maybe she only needs to walk away with one good coat.
Correct.
She doesn't need to have four that are going to take up half of the small closet that she has. And how do you navigate, you know, you have to get rid of all of these, but mom, here's three coats. Pick one. Pick two.
And that's the technique that we use. We're not here to make the decisions. I make that very clear. We're not the decision maker. We're helping them make good decisions. And you're absolutely right. In that type of a scenario, you don't need four winter coats. Just pick the one that you like the best. Take that with you.
Yeah. I would love to know, what is a mistake that you've witnessed families make?
Oh, a mistake is when they bring way too much.
I knew you were going to say way too much is the biggest mistake.
Yes. When there's not enough of an eye on the capacity of the new home. Each new resident is going to be smaller. You're going to have less closet space. You're going to have less cabinet space. And what you have in your present home may not necessarily fit. So you have to have a good look at that capacity and whittle down, make the decisions in your present home. Don't do the downsizing when you've made the move. It's way too chaotic, way too stressful.
Okay. That's good to know. Marlene, tell me, what areas do you serve and how can people find your services?
We serve the Montgomery and Bucks counties, Northeast Philadelphia. The main line is our primary territory. That's where we have our resources also that we plug into as far as movers and thrift stores and liquidators and so forth. So our vendors with whom we work are all in that area and service that area too. I would be delighted if your listeners went to our website, which, again, the name of the company is Senior Transition Services. We're out of Huntington Valley, and contact us through the website. That would be lovely.
That would be awesome. Last question for you. If you were a tool, what would you be and why?
If I were a tool?
A tool.
If I were a tool, oh my goodness. I would be a polisher because what we are doing for our clients is to polish things up for them. They're living right now in a lot of chaos. Let's polish this all up. Let's make this sparkly. Let's make this inviting so when they settle into retirement living that they feel comfortable and not feel like they are making a bad mistake.
Yeah. I see that polisher role is... You bring positivity.
Thank you.
And I see that in everything that you do and every interaction I have. You always find a way to look at things in the most positive light. And I think that is a real gift. And I know that you must pass that on to your team. And I think it's a wonderful service that you provide for families and for seniors. And like I said, I wish I had known about you sooner. And I'm happy that folks are going to know about you now. So... as we wrap up, I remind everyone every week that doing it yourself doesn't mean doing it alone, and services like Marlene's are available to help you.